Hello again and welcome to another episode of Dr. Tosin's Surgery. And today, it's a different type of episode. I had the privilege of being on a fellow person's podcast, Dr. Kafayat Kendi Lamidi, who hosts her own podcast and YouTube channel. And she is the author and owner of Global Self-Education Platform, which is a platform that works to empower people in all walks of life. She has been involved in teaching at the University of London Metropolitan University in courses in business management and has helped design courses in University of Huddersfield, and is also a course leader on many programs. She's got an extensive CV. So on her podcast, the discussion was based around the issue of social distancing, the effect on family ties, how the term social distancing itself may have become a term that is used to stigmatize, and in fact, how we should be using another term, which is called physical distancing, which incidentally the World Health Organization sometime at the end of first week in April also advocated. We also delve into discussing strategies for beating boredom at home and tools to implement to boost productivity while in lockdown or isolating. It was an interesting discussion, lasted about 40 minutes. I hope you enjoyed. As always, don't forget to subscribe. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or any platform that you use to listen to your podcast. Leave a review. Let me know what your thoughts are. And hope to bring you more interesting episodes like this. Thank you very much.
Greetings to everyone out there watching. I am Dr. Kafayat Kendi Lamidi. Today, we are very fortunate to have a special guest of honor with us. Join me to welcome Dr. Tosin Taiwo. He's a medical doctor as well as a health coach. You are welcome once again, Dr. Tosin.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure, welcome as well. Today, in order to address some series of questions that have been raised through the GSEP of Q&A section, and Dr. Tosin will help us to provide thoughtful insights from his wealth of experience and expertise on the topic entitled Reimagining Familyhood versus Social Distancing, which is obviously the catchphrase now globally. So we tend to look at it from a global transition perspective. And the opening for the day is, how can family ties, or let me put it this way, how can relationships be maintained or strengthened in the context of social distances? I will let you start when we are ready, please. Shipping.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, I think the question was family ties. How can we strengthen family ties during social distances? The first thing to do is to kind of address what, when we say family ties, we have to be specific to see what we mean by family ties. From back in school days, we understand there's the nuclear family and there's the extended family. In all honesty, if you're talking about your nuclear family, that is man, wife, children, it's extremely difficult to maintain any set form of social distancing in your own house. Unless perchance someone has confirmed symptoms of COVID-19, where in that case you would have to have strict barrier methods where the person stays in a select room if you have that spare room. To expand further, if we talk about family ties with other members of the extended family, your brothers, your cousins, your uncles, aunties, grandma, at the moment, the maintaining family ties has to be through what we call constant contact. We discussed this earlier. One of my posts or recently on Instagram was regarding this, where we say the advent of using social media has never been better than now. FaceTiming, you making FaceTime phone calls and constant phone calls will be one of the best ways to get in contact with your people, to establish a relationship with them and just keep in contact. If we address more the elderly folk, maybe our parents, for instance, or our grandparents who may be feeling lonely or isolated this period, if they have the capacity or chance to have a mobile phone that has video service and they have data, for instance, constant phone video calling will be one of the best ways. Now, another thing that people can do is, with your family members, you can play games over the phone. It's one of the tricks that they've brought forward. There are a number of games out on the internet where people can download or just write out and play a game like Clue, or there's another name for it, I can't remember, where, for instance, now I'm looking at you and I act out, they have what we call genres or themes, will be the word to use, where I can say, okay, this particular thing I'm doing is from a movie scene, and I act out something or I say the phrase, and your job is to guess the correct answer. Then maybe we move on to another theme that can be for like children, animals, for instance. So grandma might decide to do a posture of an animal, and the grandchildren are supposed to guess what type of animal that is. So that is an interactive game. It can get people to laugh. It can get people to joke around. Or they can play a quiz game, for instance, where you bring up questions. Back then, when we were younger, don't know whether you ever played this game that we played when we were younger called Name, Animal, Place, and Thing, where you get a piece of paper. So we can list, it's something that can be done, especially if you have the access to video calls. Everybody can call in and just get the paper. Someone says the timer, on your mark, set, go. Name, animal, place, and thing that starts with letter C. Then bam, bam, bam. The first person to finish will just put the screen that I've finished. Then we can start from there. So it's trying to find ingenious ways to be active. That's one of the ways to maintain family ties.
Thank you very much for that. That's really thoughtful. You've just mentioned that within your own family, where you have your wife or your husband with your kids. And if it happens that you got the symptoms or you have the COVID-19 and within the house, you don't have like a room for isolation, what do you think from that side?
That strategy can be very, very difficult. One of the strategies which may sound a bit mean and crude is that the person may have to isolate somewhere else, in another place, for instance, but if it comes down to affordability, it's going to be difficult, especially with children. An adult to an adult may be able to maintain that constant wearing a mask and washing hands, changing bed sheets, spraying with things like spirit and bleach. But children tend to forget, so it's quite difficult for that, to be very honest.
To manage. But,
yeah, but what we would say is, if you have a room where the person can be in, you can say the person stays in that room. For instance, if you're bringing food, you leave the food outside, you knock on the door, you step away, you let them know you stepped away, they open the door, they pick the food up, then you keep your gloves, they change the plate and everything. If it's time to use the bathroom and toilet, you set a set time, okay, please come and use the bathroom and toilet at this point. When they finish, then you have to do a bit of cleaning as well. Clean the whole bathroom up with your cleaning agent. So it is quite a task, to be very honest with you. A couple of my colleagues and clients that did something like that, frankly, they said it was extremely difficult to manage. So yes, that's one of the ways to do it.
Okay. Thanks very much once again. And let's look again to the other part of the family that are not like your wife, your husband, or your kids. Now, I mean like our parents, like your granddad or other siblings outside of our immediate family now. You know, previously, before this COVID-19 emerged, we have something like contact and connection. So even communication scientists tend to say that most people, because they're always on their phone, so that connection is not there. You know what I mean? Because we are all on technology and all this digitalization of it. But come to think of the current situation right now, the more engaged that we are with our device compared to then, when we don't even have this COVID-19 economy, we tend to like the difference between contact and connection is because you are just contacting. I might call you, but it doesn't mean that I'm connected with you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm trying to say. So what do you think compared to now that we even have this social distancing catchphrase around or restrictions, so to say, specifically?
I suppose what we probably say that it will make things worse in the area of person-to-person connectivity. At the moment, there is a reason for it, so that kind of transcends the issue of connectivity. But going down the line, I suspect that once we've come through this period, we may experience a spike in the drop in connectivity amongst people. Or on the other flip side, it might make people realize that they have lost something in the connectivity and want to connect more. Yeah. So we're not sure. It can go both ways. So that's one of the things we have to think of. With regards to that, and one of what as doctors and as said as psychologists, what we see is that the best benefit of having that person-to-person contact, the issue of touch, hugging somebody or shaking someone's hands or patting on the shoulder, science has found that it actually stimulates something called oxytocin in the body, which gives that person the sense of being loved, the sense of being accepted. So if you see it in the animal kingdom as well, when animals are together, whether it's tigers, lions, wolves, they rub on each other. One comes and it rubs on the other person because it's that sense of connectivity. And even as human beings, that's what we were losing before this whole SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 pandemic happened. So we don't know, honestly. It might either make things worse or people may realize that, this is what I've lost. They yearn to connect and it might spike the level of connectivity. I am hoping for the latter, for it to spike the level of connectivity amongst people.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much once again. It was on Monday, I read, what's it called? World Economics Forum website. That some group of scientists from Harvard School University, is a United-based university, obviously, you know about that. So what they discover is that this social distancing may continue for months, for up to 2 years, even not more than that. So from there, my question is, to what extent will this social distancing now be turning into emotional distancing?
Oh, because yes, that's a valid point. In fact, I think it's a good segue into one of the other questions that I think you were asked. I'll just link that together now, where we talked about social distancing versus physical distancing. Interestingly, the World Health Organization has moved to change the term to physical distancing and to stop using the term social distancing. But unfortunately, it hasn't caught on that much because social distancing has already been ingrained in everybody's psyche from a time being. So they're trying to change it to physical distancing, where in cases with people will keep their physical distance and social distance will not be used because that term can depict anything from segregation to racism to many other sectionism type of things. So if we continue using that term, it will impact on the term emotional distancing, as you mentioned, and make things worse. So we have to be careful how we coin and phrase the term. I think one thing to push forward now is that we probably should start spreading the message that the term to use is physical distancing, not social distancing, because you can still keep your distance from someone, especially if you do not know the person, but still have some social communication with that particular person.
Okay, thank you very much. So from health and well-being perspective now, what are the, maintenance strategies that we can draw on?
Okay. Maintenance strategies. Okay. That's, I think that let's, that can be, that's a bit broad, and that can be, that can encompass a lot of things.
Yeah.
For many people, when, I think when we bring that, what with what you find going on now is that a lot of people are suffering from boredom. They are tired of staying at home. And the question people ask is, what am I going to be doing? What do I have to do with all this time? So there are a lot of things that can come up. Strategies, for instance, some of the strategies I found from a couple of people I listened to and some of my mentors. It may sound, it can sound a bit strange, but actually if you sit down and look at it, you'll be like, oh, okay, actually that's fine. One that crept up and started the whole thing was, if you find yourself bored and you have, you think you have nothing to do, let's agree on one thing, that okay, everybody has a mobile phone. Let's assume that. Then second assumption is that we all take pictures, either on your phone or on your camera or somewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe it might be a good idea to take that time that you feel bored, scroll through your phone or your pictures, and start arranging them in proper sections. Choose to arrange them year by year. Choose to arrange them in particular activities or place I visited in 2017.
Maybe friends I had. Housekeeping, like organizing it. Housekeeping. Yeah.
Exactly. Also organize, take time to organize your photographs. So what it does to your mental psyche is that it organizes your memories. And organized memories are a good platform for you to appreciate what is coming, what has passed. And it's a good thing to see. You might stumble on an old picture of maybe a child, for instance, like what I was going through mine. I found a picture of my son when he was 6 months old. And that's when I realized that, wow, he looks exactly like my 1 year old now. And you didn't, you don't realize those things. So that thing kind of brought a spark between my wife and I, where we laughed over it. So there was an, there was a moment of joy there.
Yeah.
So people can go through their pictures. You might stumble on an old picture of a friend that you've not spoken to in 6 years. So that might be a segue into sending that person that picture, like, ah, we did this back then. No, how are you feeling? So it stimulates that positive feeling in yourself. So that's a technique. People will be shocked that they have so many pictures, and by the time you sit down and arrange it, you find that you've done a good organization and you've spent that time in a way that has become quite helpful to you. And other things include, it's all, I think another thing, like you said, you use the correct term, housekeeping. So housekeeping can go from you trying to organize the pictures to, if you have a bookshelf at home or you have a place where they keep books, whether it is yours, your children's, take time and sit down and go and arrange those books. You might find yourself picking a book that, oh, I read this book 6 years ago. And it might later remind you of something that can be positive and impact you positively. So that's one. When your children might go through old books that they've seen, and they might like, ah, daddy, I want to read this book. It's one of the things that will come, and it's an activity that you can do with them and engage them in. So one, you'll be using that opportunity to make their room and their wardrobe tidy, and two, you'll be finding books that you may have thought were lost for a long time.
Nice.
Going on with housekeeping again, anybody that is, if they are bored, on, or I'll assume there's a lot of cleaning that has to be done. In the UK, for instance, the sun is coming out. So the term spring cleaning is what we are using now. Everybody is going out. Look at your external environment. When last did you take clean cloth and water to clean the window outside? Do that activity. So get your environment clean. Clear your space. There's a common saying that a clear space gives room for a clear mind.
Yeah.
So that is an opportunity to do that. So that's an activity that can be planned. So yes, like I said, housekeeping in three forms: arrange your photographs, your books, and clean your environment. Another thing that people can do, and I am a proponent for this, is dedicate a time for indoor workout. People are saying they can't go to the gym, but I've always told anybody, and I have my videos on YouTube and Instagram on this, is you do not need more than 1 meter by 2 meter space to do some form of exercise. It is more important now than ever for people to get some form of exercise. And what's the best way to do it? Plan it. Pick the routine. Take time and write it down. At this time, I'm going to exercise. It may not work all the time, but at least you've planned it. You know it's on your schedule, and you will try to get to it. So when you wake up in the morning, because you've planned it, you become a proactive person, not someone that reacts to the stimulus of the day. So you have that opportunity to plan. And exercise does not have to be something you do for 1 hour. You can break it down into 5-minute bouts. If you think, oh, I'm not really great at exercising, mele para me, for instance, I would say in Yoruba, take 5 minutes, step by step, do something little, then try and see if you can build on it. So with that opportunity, you set yourself a target.
Yeah.
Oh, today I've done so-and-so skips or so-and-so jumps. Tomorrow I'll increase it by 1 or maybe 5 or maybe 10, depending on you. But it is really more important to do a workout routine. I've found myself having that time to doing workouts. I've even gone further. What we are doing, for instance, is we have a group of friends where we set different challenges. So someone will come out with a workout routine that you know that you can do in your house. It doesn't take up more than 15 minutes.
Okay.
And we can either do it by what we call reps. That's the number of times you do the exercises, or you do it to a time. So, I was able to do X and X amount of this, and this in 6 minutes. It is your turn. How many can you do? For instance, the one I did this morning with my friends, I did it in 6 minutes. My friends are doing it in 5 minutes 30. So they are 30 seconds ahead. So I'm setting my target that when I do it maybe tomorrow or next, I'll try and remove 15 seconds. So there's a goal, there's a target, there's an aim. That's one of the ways to spend the time as well. Now, another way, which is really important, and people that are saying that they don't have anything to do. One thing obviously is it will require them having access to internet.
Yeah.
To try and do some online learning. There are many sources of free online learnings online now. So this is the best opportunity for people to learn a new skill. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you have been inundated with requests from people all around, maybe Nigeria mostly or somewhere else, asking you to supply them with money and funds. So we are doing our best to support them. So when I'm supporting the person, I ask the person the question, what are you doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
You always get the story of there's nothing to do, I have no time, I have all this. Then I, as a Christian background, I give them the story of how Jesus said to Peter that it's good for me to give you this fish, but it'd be better for me to show you where to fish.
Exactly.
So instead of taking one fish, you can fish yourself and have more.
Yeah. So you will have to come back.
Exactly. So one example I gave is it is not, people can start learning how to do things like social media marketing, for instance, where you just look for people's profiles and tell them you help them build your profile. The average person has, give or take, on his WhatsApp, phone book, Facebook page, 5,000 contacts easily. So those are 5,000 people you can market to. So if, for instance, now someone comes to you and says, you tell the person, I will help you grow your social media page. That is a job. So all you have to do, like I said, what you need is data. And I've seen that people like Glow and Nine Mobile, formerly Etisalat, are giving people inclusive Facebook and WhatsApp data in your data plan. So it's not eating into your data. So you can regularly market out to people. I should get the link and send to you. There is a link on WhatsApp where there's a marketing platform. They get you to market to 250 people with their messages, and they pay you for it.
Wow, that's good. You don't know Twitter. Market.
So they send you some, they send you a message sent to the people. You show them that you sent it to this number of people, the evidence that it has been ticked or read. And there's a way they do it, because it was something that they discussed in our investment forum when I was discussing with people. So those are all techniques. Another thing is websites like Fiverr.com, Upwork, People Per Hour. These are places where people, you register and you help people market a skill. For instance, people, photographers that are home now, they say they don't have, the obvious, nobody's taking pictures, there are no weddings, there are no anything. But when you take your photograph, you have to edit the pictures, isn't it? So that means you know how to edit photographs.
Exactly.
So why don't you go online and market that skill of photo editing to people? I mean, you might not make the millions you are thinking of, but you may get something to sustain you, and you might build something from there, more contacts. That's a big example. Proofreading. A lot of people are writing blogs, caption stories, books, reports, all those things. So you can come up with that, helping people proofread their work, especially if you are good in that particular area. Or learn how to use Word, Microsoft, PowerPoint, help people create presentations.
Exactly.
That's another type of work. So the work range is limitless. One just has to be able to commit to it.
It's
not going to give them the instant return of, oh, I'll get money in my account right now. But it gives you the level of dignity that you know you are working to earn.
Exactly.
So that is one key thing. People using the time to build a new skill. Another thing, which is the last one I'll add on top of this, is we all find ourselves with a lot of time on our hands. And like we said, people say they are bored. They don't know what to do. One of my mentors I look up to, a chap called Les Brown, he said that, okay, the question he now asks is, all right, you do not know what to do, but if you had a chance to do something, what will you do? Number one, you should try and answer that question. Number two, brainstorm ideas in your head. What do you think you can come up with? So if you can brainstorm ideas, then you can sit down and try and start charting out what you will do when we come out of this lockdown. So it's almost like starting to plant the seed now. So when we come out of the lockdown, it will be time to germinate. We don't have to necessarily wait till we come out from lockdown before we germinate. A lot of people are still will tell you they don't have money to feed, which is a very valid point. And I've kind of signposted, there are a lot of help centers around Nigeria. There's even a website set up where people can register if you need help. And people from around the world log onto that website and make a donation directly to you, not the website, letting them know this is what they've donated, and you tick that you've helped the person. I think it's called reachout.com.ng, set up by one of one of the people I know, acquaintances back home in Nigeria anyway. So that's how people are being helped. So those are all the techniques that can be used to help manage, strategies to manage being in lockdown.
Thank you very much. That's really, let me say, interesting and very, very intensive as well, which is really good. Because you've just pointed out straight away, direct, these are what people have to be doing. This is what they can be looking into. Even it comes down to like passion, using your passion, your area of interest. You don't have to have certain qualification, or even these days, sorry to say, certificates are useless.
Exactly.
With your passion, with your values, you can create something. You can use your own beliefs, your values to design something that will even be useful to other people. Just like you said about the photographer. That is exactly one idea. Just from editing to proofreading to helping other people, like people want to write proposal, you can help them. At least there will be something that you are good at. We are all special in our own way.
So your own way.
So thank you very much. That's really interesting. And maybe to add to that, maintenance strategies in terms of the relationship now is kind of being more positive.
Yes.
More open. These are very important, because positivity, particularly when we have constant flow of information that might even make it more, you know, we are like bombarded with a lot of information. Sometimes I tend not to even on the TV. I just do something different today. Being positive is very, very important. You know, cheerful, having that cheerful and uplifting interactions with others, like partners, like kids or other family through video chat is also very important. Then that openness is another one. Being open in terms of active listening, rather than being the person taking the talk or doing the talking all the time. We tend to I enjoy listening to people rather than doing the talking most of the time. And the third one is kind of assurance. All we have to show care, we tend to give ourselves that reassurance that things will be better. This is just like a testing moment for everyone. You know, we've been so busy in this world that we don't even have much time, even with our own kids, with our own partner in the house. But look at this now. We've been doing this for more than months now, more than weeks. So look at that closeness that it brings together with the kids. Like you said, looking at back to the pictures, to the photographs that we've taken a long time ago, it sparked up the memories. You know? So that assurance is another aspect of it. The fourth one is the connection, which is important, network. And I'll tell you, in terms of shared network, for example, if I'm connected with you, you might be connected to another person. Then, you know, we start to expand our streams of network that's going to be useful. We will always learn from one another. Nobody is a burden of knowledge. Like you now, I've learned a lot from you just within 10, 15 minutes that we started talking. So while you are good at this, other person in your network might be also good at something else. So coming together, we bring all this together, it makes a whole.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I think to add to that, like you said, which is what you've been about, the issue of positivity, one thing I'd always advocate is developing what we call a gratitude practice. So to help set the motion of the day as part of what I call the morning ritual, when one wakes up in the morning, just be grateful. Mm-hmm. Practice gratitude. You can either do it by just sitting down and saying something, reciting something for the first 5-10 minutes, or practice writing it down, things you are grateful for. You can just be grateful for the fact that the sun is shining, or just grateful for the fact that you have woken up without a headache. You know, just simple things that may seem silly, but these are all things that help spark the positivity in your system and help you direct your day. Mm. Regarding the information, like you said, overwhelming information, one thing I try to do, for instance, is at the start of the pandemic, we were always getting regular updates. So I've tried to limit getting my news to once or twice at the most a day, maybe once in the morning around 10 o'clock after I've done everything I want to do when I'm at work, or second and in the evening. That should be all, to be honest with you. I have realized in my experience that if there's an impending news that you need to act on, breaking news that will impact your life, someone will always call you and tell you. That's the honest truth. Someone always call you and tell you. You always find out if you need to urgently.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. In the kind of way to summarize that, it is a kind of like having that ethics and discipline, like discipline ourselves and developing that work ethics. Okay, now, like you said, maybe just listen to the news in the morning or in the evening, which is kind of, you're like, discipline yourself. Okay, this is how I want to do it. And that's become your work ethics for kind of the routine that you get done on a daily basis, which is amazing. Thanks very much once again for that. In order to wrap it up, let's just summarize all this strategy by putting it across this way. How can we thrive and strive with distancing amid this COVID-19? Because with that last question, we used to summarize it.
Okay, so how we can thrive in distance. So I think the things we mentioned, one is self-organization. Housekeeping was the term we used. Try and arrange your photographs, try and arrange your house. Go through your old photographs, you can categorize them into different names. You can use years or places that you've been or the time or situation you think is necessary. Secondly, like we mentioned, is to pick up a new skill, try and learn a new skill. There are lots of free online resources now. The caveat, like we said, to that is that you will have to get some form of internet or data, especially if you're back in Nigeria, where you have to subscribe and buy constant data, which may be slightly a challenge. But like I said, if you are really determined, you will be resourceful and find a way around it. That's what always happens. Thirdly, like I said, having a gratitude practice, making sure you limit the amount of information you take in from the news so that you maintain your level of positivity. Then another thing is registering on online websites to try and see what you can get if you are looking for work. Yeah. There might be an area to thrive in. And fourthly, I think we mentioned, what did we talk about? Being positive in things you do and the way you look at things. And yes, brainstorming new ideas, getting a book and writing out all the ideas you can brainstorm, and take time to work out a business plan or a strategy of how you want to market it, how you want to go about raising money to do things, taking it step by step and writing it out. So when we come out of the lockdown, you are ready to go. It's not just starting afresh from that point in time. So those are simple strategies to thrive in this time, like we said. And yeah, like I said, like you mentioned rightly, staying very positive, having a positive attitude towards things. And yeah, staying in contact with family members and friends. One thing I think we mentioned is if you pick up your phone and you scroll through, there might be a friend that you've not contacted in maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It might be a good time to just say hello.
Go ahead.
How are you doing? And just catch up with that person.
Yeah. And that's the last part is openness, active listening, giving ourselves the reassurance and, showing the care and the love, as well as the relational sharing in terms of who is going to call who first. Are you going to call me tomorrow or am I going to call you first? So we say,
yes, I see what you mean. Yes.
That can keep
pretty much going.
Thanks very much. That's really international. That's really interesting as well. It's very touching. Let me use this moment to ask you to please speak to the audience about what you do and how they can connect with you.
Okay. So I'm a medical doctor, and what I'm doing at the moment is I'm doing my GP training. I'm a GP registrar. People that, if you do not understand what a GP is, a GP is generally a family doctor. My main interest is around what we call MSK, musculoskeletal medicine, with integrative and functional medicine. Functional medicine has to do with lifestyle, so lifestyle medicine. I've found from my experience that 80% of illnesses that people have, chronic illnesses, has to do with their lifestyle. Things, the way they live, how they sleep, the amount of stress they go through. So I always want to look into that first, which brings out the part where I do a bit of health coaching, trying to establish and find out how the person is living their life before prescribing or doing any form of treatment. And treatment, from my point of view, does not always have to be giving medicine, giving drugs, popping pills. That's what I believe. I do health coaching in the areas of weight loss. I particularly am a fan of the keto diet. So I prescribe the keto diet for people. Admittedly, it doesn't work for everybody. It's not something that people may always want to do, but I've found it to be very effective. But after a while, I tailor with my continuous health coaching, I tailor people's lifestyle to their needs, to include things like good sleep, ways to do stress reduction, exercise and movement practices, and building their nutrition around what they have and their particular health conditions. I also do, as you like, if I do a YouTube channel where I discuss health topics that range from men's health to nutrition to women's health, could cover a broad range of things. And I also do a part of my YouTube, we do a family vlog where we document and show my family life, how I give people tips and ideas on how to live a family life and how to have interesting interactions in the family. I also host a podcast which is part of the health, my health thing is called Dr. Tosin's Surgery. And similarly, the strength is lying similarly across the same thing where I interview people or discuss health topics that may be of interest to anybody coming up, and it's all around lifestyle living and living a healthy and long life. With all that, I've also, because of my keto, I've also put out books that can be found on Amazon or on a website called Kobo Course in Nigeria. It's a keto book and a smoothie book. And I'm working on other books at the moment, but they're still in the pipeline. I've had to do other things first. Yeah. On Instagram, if anybody's on Instagram, I use the handle Dioscuri2. That's at Dioscuri2. Or if you type in Dr. Tosin, you'll find me there. And it's the same thing on YouTube and on Facebook, Dr. Tosin.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Tosin. It's great having you on Global Self-Education Platform. We really appreciate your time, your efforts, your resources, as well as your kind gesture and your, you know, hospitality to leave your family behind and just come out and sit with us to share your wealth of knowledge. We really appreciate it. I'm so glad to have you here once again. And for our beloved audience out there, this is Global Self-Education Platform. Once again, Dr. Kafayat speaking. And please do remember to visit our website via kafayatkendelamini.com for a lot of resources that you can, you know, tap on. There are many chapters that you can read, videos of previous events, as well as I'm going to upload this one later. So just do the catch up while you are bored. Try to get yourself engaged, continue to be active and stay safe at home. And our YouTube channel is Kafayat Kendi Lamidi, as well as on LinkedIn, I am Dr. Kafayat Kendi Lamidi. I'm also on Instagram as Kafi Godasri. I did not change that. On Facebook, Kafi Godasri. However, Global Certification Platform Facebook is direct on Facebook page as Global Certification Platform. You can also find series of past lectures as well as the latest one. So try to continue to engage with us. We really appreciate your engagement. And Dr. Tosin is also, like you said, a health coach, medical doctor, and is going to become a GP very soon. So try to connect with him for your personal or your family. Health is very important. Health is wealth, honestly.
Wealth, it is, yes.
Well, we have
thank you very much.
We have everything. So thanks to you all for listening. I appreciate and I love you all so, so much. Thanks so much, Dr. Tosin.
Have a thank
nice you. Bye. Regards to the family.
You too. Thank you. Take care.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to that episode. And if you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or any platform you listen to. A review means a lot to us. It helps us improve in the ranking so that more people can listen to what you're enjoying and get the message out there. And don't forget to join us for our next riveting episode. We've got very good discussions coming with different interviews from impactful people in different walks of life, and hope to catch you soon. Remember, this podcast and episode is not the same without you. Hope to see you soon.